Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. Oh, well, sorry, I pulled myself off screen somehow. Welcome, everybody. This is Katie Weaver. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 2nd of September already at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I also want to welcome you. I want to let you know we're over in the chat room, and you can find it by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. I also want to let you know that I am live streaming this event, and you can find that by heading over to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver, a Domestic Mystic. And that's how it's done. So, glad to see you guys. I'm still liking the bangs too, but I actually kind of feel like they need trimmed already. Or maybe I just didn't curl them well enough today. I don't know. They're kind of in my eyes. But I do like them. I've gotten used to them, and I like them a lot. I should find my high school yearbook, my senior year yearbook for you picture. This was my hair then. I've just taken steps backwards. Also, look at this mug. Just look at it. How cool was that? HomeGoods. HomeGoods had so many cute mugs, I could have just thrown away everything I owned. I close to did. Besides some of my own mugs that are coming out of the kiln today. So, yeah, I'm mug crazy, apparently. Glad to be back. So, over at True Crime Squad, we're in trial coverage right now. And so I chose to cut my show loose last week. You know, I talk a lot about self-care and about, cutting things loose when you need to and, giving yourself a break when you need to. And sometimes I don't do that for myself when I should. And last Tuesday, I was feeling very overwhelmed and I went, cut something loose today. Give yourself a break. So that's what I did. So I apologize I wasn't here, but it was for good self-care reasons. And I think that's okay. Oh gosh. So, guess what? The guineas are laying eggs. The hens haven't started, the chicken hens haven't started, but the guinea hens have, and they're so cute. They're little tiny. And they're just sweet. Which is crazy because the guineas are every bit as big as the chickens are, but their eggs are like a third of the size. They're itty bitty. I'm going to show you a picture. They're itty bitty and sweet. And someday I'll have a picture pulled up here to show you. Good Lord. We'll get there. Anyway, so that's kind of fun. On Saturday we had to be real chicken farmers and go deal with the fact that we have a ton of roosters that we do not want and can't keep. But when you buy straight run chickens or you hatch your own, and we did some of both this year, you're gonna get some roosters, which is fine, except for that you can't have that many roosters together because they fight. They'll start beating up on the hens because they're competing for their harem and stuff like that. So you have to be super careful about keeping too many roosters. And so we had wanted to rehome the bulk of ours. And our roosters, most of them were the Leghorns, and they were huge and naughty. Oh my gosh, they were terrifying. So I did find another local little chicken farm that's trying to build up their flock that was willing to take them all. So that was good. So we kept a Brahma rooster and a blue rooster, both of which are a lot nicer. But man, those Leghorns, holy shit, they were naughty as hell, super, super aggressive. There's no way we could keep them with our flock. No way. If you do that, what you'll discover is when you go out to take care of your chickens, you'll notice that they're missing feathers on their backs. And the reason they're missing feathers on their backs is because if you watch when they are out there, the roosters will fly up on their back and get a hold of them with their claws and with their spurs to breed them, and they tear their feathers out. And sometimes they'll end up with like big sores on their backs and stuff. It really super sucks. It's awful. And some of that is just nature for chickens. But again, if you have too many roosters, your hens are going to get hurt. And frankly, just constantly assaulted by these pricks. So you gotta protect them. So I'll show you two things. So first of all, these are the guinea eggs. Look how cute they are. They're so little. I need to take a picture next to a regular chicken egg, but I would tell you they're less than half the size of a regular chicken egg. They're teeny. So cute. I could hear someone in the chicken coop hollering. And when the chickens lay eggs, like at the time they're laying, they holler their heads off. So I had told Scott, we're getting pretty close to when they should start laying, early fall, so we should be keeping an eye out. So he goes in the hen house and looks, and sure enough, it's guineas in there laying. And since we discovered those, they've been laying really consistently. So I haven't tried these eggs. I don't know if I will. I probably will. They're little. I think they would be awesome just like boiled and added to a salad or something like that, you could just throw a few eggs in. But I don't know what they taste like, and I'm a little bit freaked out by them. So I don't know. We'll find out. But I gotta show you what the leghorns look like so that you can see what I'm. That was after we kicked them out of the hen house on Saturday because they hurt one of the guineas. And she's okay. She's secluded right now. With chickens, if they get a bloody spot, then they won't leave each other alone and they'll keep pecking at it and pecking at it until somebody dies or is like really hurt. And it's just the way chickens are. And so if you discover that you have a hurt one, if you can separate them until they get healed up, you have a lot better chance of saving them. So that's what we did. So she's in her own pen right now, which also makes me sad because the guineas all just really flock together. But they were pecking at her for her hurt foot. So unfortunately, she's all alone right now. However, the pigs spend a ton of time out around her pen, so I think she's not really all alone. But there are uncomfy parts of keeping chickens that I don't like, and them hurting each other is a big one. But at any rate, she's putting weight on that foot today, and I think she's going to be just fine. She just needs a few more days on her own to make sure she's healed up so that these jerks aren't out there pecking at her and hurting her. So anyway, had to be a chicken farmer. I even had to help move the blues out of one pen and into the big pen. They were still in their baby pen, and they're not babies anymore. But we couldn't put him in there with all those big roosters in there. So we kicked all the roosters out into the pasture until the guy came yesterday to pick them up. And we were able to move the blues. But anyway, so I have handled all kinds of chickens all weekend long. So you can just consider me a chicken farmer now. Right. Right, Sid, it is. She said it's so sad that boy male chickens and ducks, etc., go straight to the stew pot because they have such nasty tendencies. And they do, if they even live that long. A lot of chicken farmers, at the first sign of them being a rooster, they're gone. Or some of the hatcheries will cull them as they're being hatched. That's kind of a nasty business. It depends on which chicken, if you can tell or not. They have a sexing mechanism, a way to try and see if they're male or female. It is not foolproof. And we tried to buy sex chickens this year. From the hatchery we like, but they told us that there was no guarantee and they were $15 a piece. A piece! That's insane. So we're like, we'll take our chances with some roosters. That's fine. And then, of course, we were able to rehome them. So I feel good about that. Super good. And again, the Brahma rooster and the little blue rooster are nice. Scott held the blue rooster forever yesterday, just petting him and talking to him, and he was just fine. You wouldn't do that with those other guys. They were not nice. So anyway, there you go. I thought that it would be fun today because we are getting into apple season, and believe you me, I know we're in apple season because Zig Piggy won't let me forget it. Zig is this time of year, he is spending all of his time out under the apple trees. Now, where he likes to sleep, that big piggy bed that he made, it's under the pine trees, which are next to the apple trees. So he's right there. But I caught him a couple of days ago directly under the apples sleeping in a spot I've never seen him sleep before, and I thought, I got it. He's waiting right there just in case an apple falls. He'll be right there to grab it. Now, our apple trees were fairly dormant this year. There's not a ton of apples out there, but there's enough, you know, that he's getting quite a few treats. But oh my gosh, if you walk out there, you would think you're going out there to give those two $1 million, the way they charge out there, honking and hollering and butting up against you, thinking that you're going to give them an apple. Oh, you probably should. So, at any rate, I have apples on the brain. So I thought that it would be fun to do an episode of the show and an edition of Luminous that's about apples and spirituality throughout time. I knew some of these facts before I started researching, not all of them, but I find this to be a really interesting topic. So before I get started, I'm curious to know a couple of things. A, do you like apples? Do you eat them? B, what is your favorite apple? Because everybody has a favorite if you love apples. And C, what is your favorite thing to cook with apples? Do you bake with them? Do you cook with them? Do you have a specialty? Let us know. Let's talk about it. I mean, apples are in everything. Everything. Now, this isn't strictly an apple. Probably not an apple at all. No, I think it has apple juice. But anyway, if ever I am sick, my favorite treat in the world, and the thing that will make me feel better, my stomach loves these, is a green apple smoothie at Dutch Bros. Yeah, it probably has a million tons of sugar in it and whatever, but you know when you're sick and you don't care. Yeah, that's where it's at for me. Yes, that's not really a real apple thing. My favorite apple is a Braeburn. I love Braeburns. Oh, Sherry loves the Gala or the Gala. Thin slices on a turkey mozzarella sandwich. Oh, damn. Sherry, yes. You can come. Lillian says Applejack brandy. Yep, you're on the bus as well. Hilarious. I like to make an apple crisp this time of year from the apples on our trees. I also, Scott makes, every few years, he'll make a big batch of apple cider vinegar from our trees, and that is the best vinegar I've ever had. Scott, who, by the way, has been spent most of his day yesterday and today making three big blocks of blue cheese to start fermenting, and will ferment here for the next 2 or 3 months. We have not made blue cheese before, so I'm super curious to see how they turn out, so I'll let you know. But this man, you know, he made a plan. He found a farmer out not too far from us selling whole milk, or you know, raw milk. You need that for cheese making. So we bought 4 gallons of raw milk for this endeavor. He 3D printed the cheese baskets that he needed because he ordered cheese baskets and they sucked, so he printed new ones that he liked better. You know how he is. He's just doing all the things. So anyway, his cheese is done now and in the rest phase, so it'll rest now on the counter, I think, for a week, and then it goes, or 2 weeks, and then it goes in the fridge for, and it'll go in our outdoor fridge, in the garage for a few months. So anyway, I'll let you know how that turns out. Okay. Suzanne loves red delicious apples, freshly picked here in the Northeast. Apple crisp with vanilla ice cream is one of my favorite desserts. Amen. See, this is Scott. Any apple dessert, if that's on the menu, that is what he's ordering. He loves apple anything. For me, chocolate is still going to trump apples, like if given the choice. But this time of year, you have to make an apple something. Pamela says she loves animals. Granny Smith and Macon? Her favorite snack is apple and peanut butter. Oh, yeah, yes. You're all on the bus. Sid says, Fuji's perfect taste and crispy. She said she hasn't been eating many these past few years, eating tons of berries. And been, when buying organic at Walmart, you get a lot at a time. Okay. Hey, Mary. Renee said she ate an apple a day for decades and still can't decide on her favorite. Did it keep the doctor away, Renee? We need to know. Tara said her husband just picked a bunch of apples from his parents' place, and she'll probably make some crisp and some mulligatawny. Oh, brilliant. Yes. Yes, cheese and apples do go good together. Chocolate dipped apples. Well, yeah. I mean, come on. That should be on every menu everywhere. But not with caramel. My God. Who can eat a caramel apple without just breaking your jaw? Unless it's like the soft dipping caramel, I guess, but. Gala apples with blue cheese, Mary. Interesting. Sid said she used to to buy a Rome Beauty and bake it with brown sugar and cinnamon. Yum. We learned about all the varieties of apples in junior high home ec. Me too. And there were a lot more. I don't think you can find them anymore. Interesting. We did that when I was in home ec in junior high too. Or t my teacher, I still remember how she brought so many different apples in and cut them all up, and we tried little bites of a whole bunch of different apples, and I was astounded. You know, when you're in junior high, you don't pay attention to shit. You know, like buying groceries with your mom and noticing how many different kinds of apples are in there. But you know, so my mind was blown. Also a pink lady. I could muff up a good pink lady too. Jane said red delicious, but haven't eaten much lately. She likes slices in a grilled cheese sandwich. Yum. All right. Well, now we're all on board with apples. Let's talk about, does home ec still exist? Kind of. It's not called home ec anymore. It's called Family and Consumer Sciences. And the reason I know this is because the switch changed as I was in college. I had done my first 2 years of home economics education at my in my hometown. And then I was going on to Idaho State University for my next 2 years because my initial goal when I got out of high school was to teach high school. I wanted to be a home ec teacher. I had a home ec teacher in high school named Glenda Hawkins that was the most amazing person on the planet of Earth. I adored her. She was the teacher that the kids came to when they had a problem, not just a home ec problem, and any problem. I know a girl personally who went to Mrs. Hawkins because she thought she was pregnant. Mrs. Hawkins helped her take a pregnancy test and helped her tell her parents she was pregnant. That was the kind of teacher she was. She loved her students, she took great care of them, and she didn't care what kind of kid they were. And this was a big problem at my high school because of the religious aspect of where I live, that the kids who weren't Mormon or the kids who didn't present, you know, as pious as they should, really struggled with teachers persecuting against them, not wanting anything to do with them. And I understand that probably happens in a lot of communities, but in mine, that was the kind of the challenge. And then, of course, there was some pretty rampant racism still in my town when I was in high school. And so there were certain kids that really fell through the cracks because the teachers didn't give a shit about them. But not Mrs. Hawkins. She loved everybody, and especially those kids, actually. She put a ton of energy into the kids that nobody else wanted, that nobody else cared about. And I loved her. I loved her for that. I loved her for who she was. I loved that she was a home ec teacher. I loved the topics. And so I decided that's what I wanted to do. Initially, I wanted to be an attorney. I had thought all the way through high school I was going to be a lawyer. And then senior year, and this is still on me. I wish I had not done this, but I had gone to a career day event that they'd put on for the seniors, right? And I went in with the kids who wanted to be lawyers. There was like a lot of boys and a couple of girls. And the lawyer that came to speak with us was female. She was, I would say, probably in her 60s. She had a very short, severe haircut. She had on what looked like a men's suit. She looked very, very masculine. And the first thing she said, and she referred to me specifically, if you want to be a lawyer, you can't be going in here with your long, cute, pretty hair and your makeup looking all cute. You'll have to fit into a man's world if you want to be successful in a man's world. And proceeded to tell us all about how we would have to cut our hair short and dress more masculine. And present more as a man if we wanted to get along in a man's world. Fuck her. Right? 100%. But at the time, I was 17 and probably an idiot. And because I was 17. And I believed her. And I got really discouraged. That wasn't all of the discouraging things she said. That was what she said specifically to the girls, which again, there were two girls in that whole room, so it was specifically to me and this other girl. But she specifically called out my cute hair and makeup, that I wouldn't be able to look like that anymore. So me apparently being vain, and also she said a lot of discouraging things about how hard it was and how much work it was going to be and how you wouldn't really be able to have a family and basically ran the girls right out of the room. And I let her. I feckin' let her. So throughout my senior year, I started coming up with a new plan because I took law off the table. I mean, screw her for doing that, but also I wish I had been a little stronger of had made of tougher stuff that I hadn't fallen for that, but here we are. Anyway. So whole mech it was. So I went to Ricks College here in my hometown for 2 years and got my associate's degree. And like a month after I graduated with my associate, Scott and I got married. And then we were scheduled to move to Pocatello to go to Idaho State University and finish up that degree. And as soon as I graduated, ISU announced that they were ending their home economics education offerings. Their program, just like that. So I was screwed immediately because we had bought a little trailer house in Pocatello. So it really messed up my plans. What happened is that they took a year off and rebranded and came back with Family and Consumer Sciences, but they didn't announce that they were doing that. They just said they were ending their program, kaput, done. So we did move to Pocatello briefly. We hated it and turned around and moved back. And I ended up then, owning a couple of businesses. And I had my babies and started a home daycare. And then while I had my home daycare, the state was paying for daycare employees for childcare associates to go to college and get their associates in child or early childhood education. And so I did that. And my minor in college on my associate's degree was family studies, so and child development family studies. So at any rate, it was really natural for me to go on, and do that. So at any rate, that's a really long story that you didn't ask for. To tell you, yeah, no, it's not home economics anymore. It is family and consumer sciences. I did, however, go back to the high school and substitute for Mrs. Hawkins every once in a while. And I loved it. It was fun. It was really fun. Yeah, a very winding road, right? Absolutely. And how did I get here from there? Well, I had my home daycare for 10 years, and then I really had just wanted to do home daycare while my babies were at home, so I didn't have to put them in daycare. And that worked out really good for me. And then after I was ready to close the daycare, the state hired me to work as a mentor for other childcare facility owners. While I owned my daycare, I had closed it twice to direct bigger centers for other people. And just both times hated it and missed being at home and moved my center back home. So I'd had, a fair amount of commercial experience. And so anyway, I went to work for the state of Idaho as a mentor, which was really cool because they put you through their mentor training program. And that's been really useful for me in my current career. It was really good for me. And I really loved that job. I really liked it. And I did that for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. But while I was doing that, we had all been studying Reiki and, getting Reiki certified and practicing other things, learning how to use our intuition for things, starting to give readings. Like I'd been on that path for a while. And at that point, that's when Christy suggested that we open a small center and start offering what we had. which is what we did. And then that took me from there to a larger center and then to our biggest iteration of Healing Hands that we had for quite a few years before we sold it. And while I had Healing Hands, I also came to work here at one too. So, yeah, long winding road to be exactly where I'm supposed to be. I think it's perfect. Okay, let's get into it. Let's talk apples. So I called this week's edition the Fruits of Fate, the Ancient Apple Edition. All right, let's talk about the apple's ancient roots. I put all new art in Luminous this week, and I think it's hilarious. It's folk art, and so it's wild. The animals are all wild and crazy, and I love it. It's fall forest folk art, and I just think they're so funny and cute. All right, so apples grew wild in Central Asia. The Malus are their ancestors of the modern apple, still thrives in Kazakhstan. And then traders and travelers along the Silk Road started carrying seeds and grafts and spreading apples west into Europe and east into China. Romans were avid cultivators of apples. They developed techniques of grafting to preserve and propagate desired varieties. A lot of that still happens. Their orchards supplied not only food, but also symbolic offerings to the gods. As the empire expanded, apple trees followed, eventually reaching the far corners of Europe and North Africa. I mean, apples have been long suffering on this planet. And you know that apple trees typically are pretty hardy. They do quite well. And especially if you take good care of them, you know. So it's not that hard. And also, apples aren't hard to graft and to cross-pollinate. So it's been a huge, you know, hobby for some and a work for others to continue to come up with a lot of different varieties. Then they came across the Atlantic with colonists and adapted to the soils of North America. And now I would defy you to go into any town anywhere that you wouldn't find apple trees, right? They're everywhere. Thanks, Johnny Appleseed. Early settlers prized them for a cider, more than eating for cider, of course. Orchards became a cornerstone of colonial life. As we know, thousands of apple varieties flourish around the world, and they all have that ancient lineage, but I wonder if you even knew that, you know, that they didn't originate here, that they came here from somewhere else. I'm glad they did. All right, let's talk about myth and legend with apples. In the Norse traditions, apples were sacred to the goddess Iun, keeper of the golden apples of youth. These and magical fruits kept the gods young and strong. Without her apples, even the mighty gods of Asgard would wither away. The symbolism here is clear: apples as a vessel of vitality, eternity, and renewal. Greek lore. In Greek mythology, apples appear in several stories. Hera had an apple tree that was gifted to her on her wedding day, and she grew her famous golden apples of the Hesperides. Her tree was guarded by nymphs and a dragon, and the apples were a really highly sought-after prize sought by heroes like Hercules, or Heracles, sorry. The apple played a role in the Trojan War, when Eris, the goddess of discord, tossed a golden apple marked for the fairest, sparking divine rivalry and eventually war. Of course they did. The apple for them embodied beauty, desire, and the power to shape fate. The Celts, they revered apple trees as a doorway to the other world. In Irish lore, the Isle of Avalon, literally the Isle of Apples, was a mystical paradise where heroes found rest and healing. Apples were also tied to prophecy, wisdom, and journeys between worlds. Cutting an apple in a crosswise section reveals its hidden five-pointed star, a natural pentagram, reinforcing its place as a sacred, magical fruit. That's right, boys and girls. Apples are pagan, okay? Apples are pagan. It's obvious. All right, in spiritual traditions, of course, biblical tradition, apple Though we think that the fruit that Eve ate in the garden was an apple. It's never been specifically named as an apple, but that's been the belief, and centuries of Christian art and storytelling make it so. So people do believe that that is true. We don't actually know if it is, or if it's just more mythology. But there's certainly been lots of talk of Eve and the apple in Christianity for time immemorial. So, in that aspect, apples came to symbolize temptation, forbidden knowledge, and the fall of humanity. I can honestly say, when I was a kid, after hearing the Garden of Eden story, I always felt kind of weird about apples for a while. Like, are we supposed to eat these? I thought this was bad. But I guess it's okay then, or very literal. In the Chinese tradition, apples symbolize peace. The word for apple, I'm not going to try, carries the same root sound as peace. Apples are often given gifts during festivals as blessings of harmony and safety. In Islamic folklore, in some Islamic traditions, apples are considered fruits of paradise alongside pomegranates and dates. They symbolize purity of heart and the fragrance of the divine. Magical uses of apples. And never fear, I'll expand on this in my tip, but we'll go through these. They've been used in folk magic for centuries. A lot more than centuries, probably. In divination, in Celtic Samhain traditions, apple peeling and bobbing for apples were ways of predicting the future, especially in love and marriage. In healing, herbalists used apples for their cooling, balancing qualities. The old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, hints at a deep-rooted belief in the apple's restorative power. Love and fertility spells. Apples have been carved with lovers' names, buried beneath trees, or shared in rituals to strengthen bonds. Offerings. Apples are often left on altars for deities, ancestors, or nature spirits, symbolizing respect, sweetness, and abundance. So there you have it. Lots of lore around apples. Yeah. Love it. So now, this fall, when you pick up some apples, or go to an orchard or pick some apples, or go pick some off of a tree in your home or neighborhood, or your yard or your neighborhood, you can think a little bit more about what apples have meant historically throughout history. It is vast. Okay, in Refeminist History with Kelly this week, she has an article about women who kicked Nazi ass, Nancy Wake. She was also known as the White Mouse. So they're working on their next podcast episode that is about women during World War II that helped to defeat Nazis and fascism. Really interesting article. The White Mouse was fearless, did amazing things. So definitely check that out. And then I think next week we'll have she'll have that episode live, so you can go and listen to it as well. So thank you, Kelly, as always. Okay, I put together an apple peel divination spell so that you can give it a try if you would like to. Again, this is folk magic. This is old folk magic, and I thought it might be fun to give it a try. So, and in bobbing for apples, by the way, one of the things they would do in bobbing for apples, we're not That has nothing to do with this spell, but just so that, out of interest. Sometimes they would take apples and either carve a name or an initial onto various apples and throw them into a tub. And then the young ladies would bob for apples. You've done that maybe before or seen it. And the apple that you grabbed out, maybe that would be your future spouse. Kind of like assigning names to certain, nuts and putting them on the hearth, and whichever one pops first symbolizes who your future husband will be. Similar thinking. All right, so you're going to need an apple. You pick. Totally up to you. Maybe red for love, green for luck, gold for prosperity, or whatever you want. It doesn't matter. A small paring knife. This is important. Gotta be a knife you can use. In a quiet place where you won't be disturbed. Does that exist? We'll see. First, you're going to center yourself with your apple. So hold it in your hands. You can hold it in your heart. Close your eyes and take a deep breath. Ask the apple to reveal it the truth that you seek. So this used to be considered the initial of your future love, but you could ask about anything. Then start peeling. So the goal is to peel the apple, start at the top, peel slowly in one continuous strip, if you can. Also, you want that strip to not be too thick. You'll see why here in a minute, but try to, trim it kind of thin. I have one of those apple peelers that you stick the apple onto the fork thing and you twist it, and all of the peel comes off in a really thin ribbon. I thought about playing with that. I don't know if I can peel an apple like that. But then again, maybe I can if I just tried. But that's the idea, that you peel it in one continuous strip while you keep your question in mind. Obviously, the longer and smoother your peel is, the clearer the answer is believed to be. It might take more than one attempt, honestly. If so, I mean, you can just dip that apple in peanut butter or whack it up and throw it in the oven and make a little baked apple or do whatever you want. Once you're done peeling, then you cast the peel. So to cast the peel, you're going to stand and toss the peel over your left shoulder, sorry, and let it fall naturally to the ground. And then you interpret the shape. So you got to go check it out, look at it from multiple angles, and see how the peel lands. If it resembles a letter, this could be the initial connected to your answer, a person, a place, or a project. If it forms a number, consider its significance, time frame, date, or symbolic numerology. If it curls into a shape, a heart, a circle, a line, use your intuition to read its meaning. This is obviously very open-ended. Still, though, I think it sounds like fun to try. Pamela said she'll have band-aids ready, right? Oh gosh. Anyway, so that's how you do it. That is how apple divination is done. So when it's done, you can bury the peel outdoors or return it to the earth or feed it to the pigs or the chickens or do whatever you want, thanking the apple for its wisdom. And this is how we do it. So I love that. I'll probably try that today, later, when I walk out and give Zig Piggy an apple. I might rudely commandeer one for myself. I know. How dare me? How dare. Okay, Christy's energy exercise this week is Archangel Ariel, heal anxiety. I don't know if you noticed, but it was a very high anxiety weekend. Yesterday was a high anxiety day. Today is mellowing out. I gotta say, though, in writing the Daily Dish, I would say the last 5 days have been really focused on money manifesting and prosperity. Like every day it comes back up, and I'm like, God, I'm like a broken record over here, but hey, we'll take it. So if you've been thinking about making some money moves, this feels like a really positive time to do that. Over at True Crime Squad, it's all Donna Adelson's trial right now. So we do a recap every night at 6 p.m. Mountain to share everything that happened in the throughout the day, and we're coming close to the end. The state rested on Friday night, and the defense has been on fire today, put quite a few witnesses forward. I think it's possible that we'll have closing statements like tomorrow, if not Wednesday, or if not Thursday. So good, snap it right along. I'm here for it. anyone have Golden Delicious apples in their store? I'll have to look, Renee. Renee's saying she can't find Golden Deliciouses anymore, and that her mother used to always cook with them. Yeah, you would think in Washington State you'd be able to find them, right? That's wild. I'm gonna have to look next time I'm at the store now, Renee, because I don't know. I never watch for them because they're not one I usually buy, but. All right, lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And can we just pause for a moment to celebrate the fact that it's September? We have survived the summer. We have arrived. We are here. I don't know It's been a weird summer. I can't believe how quickly it has gone. We're gonna go camping this weekend, and that might be our last camping trip of the year already. Maybe we'll try and get out in October again. I don't know. I have a really crazy schedule for the next 2 months, so everyone hold space with me that I stay healthy and that I can do all of the things I have intended to do. It'll work, right? I have a great team. I have a great team. I have help. It's going to be fine. But yes, we have a lot going on. Oh, 89 today in Florida. Oh. It's still getting fairly warm during the day here. I mean, we're still getting into the 70s and 80s, but at night we're dropping clear down to it was 50 when I woke up this morning, 50. It was gorgeous outside. And those birds were out there yelling their heads off. We also got about half of our Halloween up and everything pulled up into the yard. So tonight, after it cools down, we're going to go finish putting it all out and then I'll make a video. But yeah, tis the season. Sherry needs a sweatshirt at 70. I hear that. I'm ordered to stay healthy. Oh, me too. I'm putting in that order as well. I feel like I've been sick this whole year off and on, just more than normal. I'm very, very tired of it. So we're demanding it because I have otters and capybaras to pet. I probably already told you guys this, but I'm going on a girls' trip in the end of September. We are flying to Seattle and we're going to a place where you can pet capybaras and otters and other things, but I've specifically am going for those. This was Christy's birthday present from me, is to go pet a capybara because she's crazy about them. So it's going to be super fun. I'm very excited. Plus, Mars has never been to Seattle. She's making us go to Pikes. Ew, but it's okay. It's probably fine. Yeah, it's going to be a super fun trip, so I'm excited. Let's see. Mary said, was wondering if you can check on my right hip, groin, thigh, and knee. Been in so much pain for almost 4 months. Despite doctor's visits, many tests, and medication, nothing has worked. I am sick of pain. Oh, Mary. Yeah, let's do a little work on that. Otters can be naughty. Yes, they can. You got to be super careful. Let's take a look. I got to look again. Did you say left or right? Right. Okay. All right, Mary, let's take a peek. Yeah, my gosh, there's so much eating there. All right, I'm going to call in the ethereal properties of sterling silver. And I'm going to send it in ribbons from the top of your hip all the way down that leg to help cool the inflammation. I'm going to send it three times. I've been reading just recently about women's hip pain and ligament pain in hips and how underdiagnosed it is and what a struggle that is for a lot of women, postmenopausal women, particularly. So I am so sorry you're going through this. Okay, I did complete that. I'm also going to put a big chi ball of aquamarine all the way around that hip to help continue to cool that inflammation. It's like you've got a vicious cycle going on now because you started out with something, a bursa or some kind of inflammation that's created more inflammation and more inflammation, and now you're just a big mess. Because now it doesn't want to heal because you just keep irritating yourself more. So I hope they can come to a conclusion about what caused this so that you can get healed up. But sending a lot of love your way. Sherry said it may snow for 3 days where she is. Wow, that would be amazing. Okay, some of the rest of you are putting out Halloween. Yes, correct. Let's see. Sid said, can you please check out my root chakra? I know I pulled it out stretching. Oh, okay. Back to Mary real quick. She said they did think it was a bursa, but this has been tough. Well, bursa was my first hit too. But that's the problem. A bursa, everything is so tiny. We think you don't really have all that much space in there. And a bursa can just really piss off one thing and cause inflammation that pisses something else off, and pretty soon you've got this vicious cycle of aggravation that takes forever to heal. Ah, Mary Boo, I'm sorry. And you're going to Seattle Thursday for a wedding. Yes, we will all hold space with you, that you can walk well enough and that you'll be okay. But Mary, you listen to me. You have done your time. So if you need a wheelchair, or you need to sit, or you need an accommodation, you get it, right? Don't be too, I was going to say brave. Maybe that's it. Don't be stubborn. Like, get the accommodations that you need so that you're okay, right? Period. Don't be stubborn. That's the word. I'm even doing the point. I think that means business. Okay, sorry. Back to Sid. Could you please check on my root chakra? I know I pulled it out stretching on tiptoes and twisted to grab off a high shelf 2 weeks ago, and all my usual tricks haven't corrected it. Yeah, let's get you grounded. Absolutely. Okay, so just pulling that root in and really giving you a good ground here. Your whole energy body was moving slow, so I'm just speeding that up. And balancing your crown. There you go. That should make a nice shift. Good. Okay. There you go, Mary. She said, you are so right. Thank you. I need my body to stop being so pissy. I think I'll ask for a wheelchair at the airport. See? Now, here's the thing, my soul sister, because I am flying into the Seattle, well, to, SeaTac, and my daughter had said, maybe we get you a wheelchair in the airport. It's going to be a long walk. That might be too much. And I was like, oh, no, absolutely not. And now I'm like, how many spoons do I want to give up at the airport? Right? How many spoons do I want to give up at the airport? I have a whole trip planned. We're flying in at 5 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have the entire day on Friday to play. And we talked about going to Pike's Market that day. Am I going to give up all my spoons in the airport so that I don't have the energy to walk through Pike's? Or am I going to stop being stupid and get a wheelchair? We'll find out. Stay tuned. Maybe, Mary, let's make a pact. You do it and I will too. Okay. Oh gosh. Okay. Tara said, I've had a lot of people around me lately with these issues, including myself. I wonder what's coming up energetically around this. What? Are you talking about hips? What are you talking about, Tara? I'm missing something. I will move on for a moment. To Suzanne, if you're doing any clearings, groundings, I would love one. Yeah, let's get on it. Okay, Suzanne, just doing a quick grounding so that I could just really watch your energy shift. You also were a little sluggish. Energy body moving a little bit slow. So, when I grounded your root, and then I just really started moving up through your sacral to your solar plexus to your heart, shifted some grief out of your heart up into your throat, needed a little bit of an adjustment, needed opened a little bit. Relaxed your jaw and then up into your third eye Which feels fine, and your crown was a little big, so just a quick little work up there. And let's clear your aura while we're at it. The world, I know I've been saying this for a few years now, but is straight chaos. So the empaths, I know. You gotta take good care of yourself. You gotta take good care of your spirit. All right, some good light around you, some good thick pink light around you, Suzanne. Good. That feels nice. We'll take it. Okay. Oh, hips and knees, Tara said. Okay, so I'm gonna go back to her question. So she said, I've had a lot of people around me lately with hip and knee issues, including myself. I wonder what's coming up energetically around this. What's coming up energetically around it is feeling stuck or unable to move forward. I think a lot of people right now, either economically or emotionally, are feeling like they can't necessarily do the things that they want to do. A lot of people are feeling like they're just stamped to the floor right now, and there's not much they can do about it. I feel like that's a lot of it. The other part of it is that women in perimenopause and menopause, and if you're over 40, you could be edging towards perimenopause. Perimenopause is really hard on your hips. Look it up. Who knew? Yeah. And so if you're experiencing some serious hip pain and you're like in perimenopause, talk to your doctor about that because that is something that millions of women experience and it's not really talked about. If you really dive into the symptoms of perimenopause and what it does to your body, girls, we were not prepared. No one told us this shit. No one, including likely your doctor. So, and there's a lot of new info being learned about perimenopause. So, I do think that's a part of it for a lot of women that are just being blindsided because maybe they've never had problems like this before. And suddenly their hips hurt all night long and they can't sleep and they don't know why. But that could apply to knees too, because when your hips aren't well, a lot of times your knees aren't well because of their, relationship to one another. Yes, the We Do Not Care Club, Sherry, and frozen shoulder. Yeah, really common in women in perimenopause and menopause. Yep. Oh, for Tara said it's, yeah, she said it's all been shoulder related for her. Yep, all of that. Yep, it super sucks. It's stupid. Yep. Yeah, and thank. Since you said that, Sherry, yes. Are you guys familiar with the We Do Not Care Club? It's this adorable lady named Melanie who basically just started this club on social media. And she started it out with talking about things we don't care about. And now here we are. And everybody adds stuff to it that we don't care. And it's hilarious. One time she said, "We don't care what the back of our hair looks like. It's none of our business." So funny. Also, just lots of things. We don't care if your project is due in the morning. Figure it out. We don't care what's for dinner. Eat some cereal. We don't care if you can't find your golf shirt. Do some laundry. So on and so forth. Yep. But yeah, if you've never looked her up, just go look up the We Do Not Care Club. She's on Facebook. She's also on TikTok. I think she's on YouTube. But she's hilarious. And the people that, all these women that are, they've formed chapters, in digital chapters all over the world with all of these perimenopausal and menopausal women that just don't care anymore. And it's awesome. I love her. We did not lock the fridge. Make your own food. Just like that, yes. One of hers that I loved is that we don't care about climbing at work anymore. We don't care. We're here to get our paycheck. You want to be ambitious? Great, you do that. We don't care. Yes, Melanie, I think so many women relate to that. That at some point you try and you try and you try and you try, and at some point you don't try anymore because you're done. Alrighty. Well, guys, I think we did it. We have talked down to the end of the show. I want to let you know that I will be over at 12listen.com for the rest of the day and evening. And of course, you can find me over there. I am a professional psychic advisor. I have been at 12listen now for close to 15 years. And I always have to figure because I started there in September. I'll have to go look it up to be sure. But yes, I have been at One to Listen now for a very long time, doing my work. And I consider this to be my life's work, my life's calling. It's everything to me. So if I can help you with a psychic reading, with energy work, animal communication, mediumship, a pep talk, a kick in the tush, whatever you need, I'm here for you. If you ever go over there and you need to talk to me and I'm not available, just do a callback request. When you do that, I get a text that lets me know that somebody is waiting to talk to me, and I'll get signed in as soon as I can to talk to you. Or you can just do a scheduled call if it works better for you, and I can approve it if it works for me, and if not, we can find another time. But I am there daily. So, and if I'm signed in, I'm ready to talk. So don't ever worry that you have to ask me if I'm ready for you. I am. If I'm signed in, I'm ready. So that's how it works. So again, you go to 12listen.com. That's number one, number two, listen.com. Just look for me, Katie Weaver, and follow the directions there and give me a call or a chat or an email reading. Lots of ways to connect. So very good. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being a part of my inner circle. You guys, some of you have been with me here, I think, from the beginning or close to it. I really appreciate you guys. I appreciate your support. I love coming to the show every week and getting to interact with you. It means a lot to me. You're the best. Yet again, this has been yet another edition of the Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way we listen to the world.